So why don't we open up where we left off in Mark, the fourth chapter. Mark 4. And when we begin again tonight, it'll be with the ninth verse. The ninth verse. Thank you, Jesus. We've been uncovering the smokescreen tactics of the devil, and we found out his most valuable tool is deceit, that we have all power over all the power of the enemy. And since he has no more power than we do, for we have power over all of his power, then his most valuable weapon is deceit. That he must, because he is so limited, he must deceive you into accepting your own defeat. So we've been exploring some of his tactics. He's a military genius. The way he brings our defeat is he has studied us for 6,000 years. And if anybody know what motivates us through the flesh, it is the devil. So the most powerful position that the devil can take in your life, the most powerful, is to be in a position where he can continually affect your thinking, yet remain undetected himself. And the most powerful way, the biggest smokescreen that he owns, is religion. Because if he can get you to believing that what is God is not, or believing in your life what is not God is, then the light that's in you becomes darkness, and great is that darkness because your power, it goes with it. Great is that darkness. So it's no wonder that we want to uncover some of his smokescreens. Yes? It is no wonder. So let's pick it up again tonight in Mark, the fourth chapter, in the ninth verse. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, thank God for that. Holy Spirit said that tonight, didn't he? God said that tonight. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He was warning you tonight, tune up. Tune up. This is not one of them kind of messages where you're thinking, I'm going to tune out and I'll come back for the miracles. If you're going to tune out, then you're losing your ears to hear. Tune out. Go to sleep. Make yourself comfortable. Rest. We love you. We'll wake you up when the miracles take place. And later on, you can get your friends to whip the devil for you. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What a statement. What a statement. But unto them which are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin shall be forgiven them. Then after that statement, he said unto them, know you not this parable? Then how can you know all parables? He said, these mysteries of the kingdom, they're given to you to understand. And if you don't know the simple parable of the sower, then what basis do you have to understand any other parable that I have taught? Now for you that wasn't here last night, that verse we read, that 12th verse, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven now. Now this actually goes back to the third chapter, and we made mention of it And in the third chapter, Jesus' kinsmen, his relatives, come to take him away and put him in a mental institution. They were calling him off. They said he's beside himself, which is old King James for saying he's simply mad. And then the scribes, they chimed in and they said, well, he's got a devil. He's got a devil. Here he was working miracles, casting out devils by the precious power of the Holy Spirit. And their hearts were so hardened, as Isaiah prophesied, so hardened that they said the very presence of God, the Holy Ghost, was an unclean spirit. And because of this, they brought judgment upon themselves. And Jesus called them to him, and he says, look, boys, if Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom's divided, how shall it stand? He said, if that's the case, he says, I'm casting the devil out by the Holy Spirit, and that means the kingdom of God is in your midst, and the Holy Spirit's doing these miracles. And he says, furthermore, you can blaspheme God, you can blaspheme me, but brother, when you call the Holy Spirit an unclean spirit, then you're committing an unpardonable sin, you hard-hearted bunch that Isaiah prophesied about. He said, you've already turned God against you. So when he preached in parables because of the judgment that came on the Pharisees, lest they would hear and understand when judgment had already been passed on them because of the hardness of their hearts. Sala la kresienkia. Well, then he went on and said, you don't know this parable. The mysteries are given to you to understand. He says, you don't know this parable. If you don't understand how the Word of God is sown in the human heart, if you don't understand that, you don't understand how guarding against these five things, persecutions, afflictions, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things, how guard against these five things that enter in to destroy the Word. He said, then grows to produce 100-fold. He said, what basis you have if you don't understand how the Word works? What basis do you have to understand any other parable that I have taught? Well, the understanding of the functioning of the Word is the key to understand any other parable. And once I understood the parable of the sower, parable started opening up, true to what the Spirit had spoken. Parables like the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, they begin to open up. The treasure hid in the field, that began to open up. The pearl of great price, it opened up. And it was amazing the mysteries contained within these parables. I felt like that I sat down at a big old feast fit for a king and ate until the buttons on my coat started killing people across the table. Found out in the 10 virgins, the oil, the lamp, you know, the oil, the lamp that went out. Well, that was the Holy Ghost. I've got news for you. You can't put him out. Devil already found that out. You can't put Jesus out. You can't put the Holy Ghost out. He won't go out. It don't even take him 9 rounds, man. You just get up in the corner and it's over. That's the Holy Ghost. Found out what the oil was. Now the oil that went out was revelation knowledge. See, in the wick that drew that oil out, that fired the wick that drew it out that fired the fire, that's the tongue, you know, the tongue that draws that illumination out, that authority to light your path so you can walk in this natural world. That's what went out. He says, what? Know you not this parable? Then he gave the subject of the parable. He said, the sower soweth the word. That is the subject. And of course, the objective is how to take the Word of God and turn 100-fold. Every parable has an objective. Its objective is to turn 100-fold walking on the Word of God. And if the subject is the sower soweth the word, then the 21st verse, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? In other words, he's saying, what's the word of God given to you for? Is the word of God given to you not to understand? Or as a candle, is it given to you to illuminate you that you can walk by the light of it? Is the word given to you not understand? No. He said, to you and I, it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. God, I love it. Well, then he uncovers the first two forces that the devil uses for smokescreen. Now let's look at this again. The 15th verse. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. 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 How soon is that? A while ago. It's already passed. That little devil some of you brought in, sitting on your shoulder, he said, not true, not true, not true. And you don't even know what isn't true yet. He likes to prepare you ahead of time. Who comes? Satan. Satan comes immediately. And again tonight, notice what he's after. And takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. Now, as much talent as I have, as good as I can sing, good looking as I am, them is not the things that he's after. He's after the word that's in me. Because he knows the longer I leave that word in, the more danger that he runs of me one day rising up and, you know, just destroying a major portion of his kingdom. Now, if there's anything he's deathly afraid of, and that is one day you're going to grab hold of the word of God and you're going to start making it work. So immediately upon the sowing of the word, any new revelation, immediately, Satan will come. He will come immediately to remove the word of God that has been sown in your hearts. Now let's examine two forces he uses to take them out. Two forces. 16. And these are they likewise. Now the word likewise means, all right, just like Satan come to the first group, he's going to come to the second. Likewise. Only now he reveals two of his forces. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when afflictions or persecutions arises for the word's sake or because of the word of God within their lives, immediately they are offended. Now let's talk about this for a minute. The two forces that we're uncovering tonight is persecution and afflictions. Now he says, these are they that have no root in themselves. They almost sprang up overnight. Have you ever seen somebody born again? Particularly this happens in the realm of people that have a lot of talent. You know, pastors make a big mistake. Somebody that was famous in the world gets born again. And immediately it is, would you come up here and sing for us? Immediately. And all of a sudden, these people have a national ministry per se. I mean, they're known all over. Their fame just switches from the world to the church world. And it looked like that, brother, God did a fast work in their life. I mean, they took so much root that they just sprang up and grew. Look what God did in their lives. I got news for you. It wasn't God that exalted them. He'll no more exalt them than he'll exalt you. See, the problem with their growth rate is now they're in the public limelight. Everybody's looking at them. They sprung up overnight, and then 2-3 weeks later, they're down in the corner bar. what happened to them. The same forces worked against them that works against you, only they was in the prime spotlight. But it did not mean that they had more grace from God, more power from God, was any stronger than you are. So when these things entered in, it just became more public. And Satan cometh immediately, and he brings persecution, and he brings afflictions, and convinces them that the word does not work. And the moment he does that, he's able to choke it. He's able to destroy the root, to scorch it, to remove it out of their life. 9 times out of 10, they'll turn to a doctrine that the devil created that wallows in a safe zone of the flesh. Flesh. And let me tell you one thing about that. It is not going to help you in the end time. You're going to need your faith. And you're going to be glad for guys like us and cities like Tulsa. He said persecution and afflictions rise for one reason. One reason. It is to remove the word of God that has been planted in our heart. Now, Peter says, think it not strange, the fiery trials, that's to try you. You know, we get to thinking it's strange. I mean, after a while, we're thinking, my God, what did I ever do to deserve this? I have served God faithfully. I have tithed. I never sick a day in my life until I started confessing this stuff. Man, then all of a sudden, somebody opened the doors of hell, and about that time, here comes the other doctrine. Oh, God put that on you to teach you something. Well, he must have, because it's certainly not my fault. How many of you ever felt that way? You know, you never told anybody, but I'm being persecuted. I have it worse than anybody. You only knew the troubles. I don't want to say anything, but could you give me a little sympathy? Where's the local pity party? And we go dragging in, and that we'll just pray that the place you drag in has strong Christians, so they won't say, oh, you poor little thing. And instead, what they'll say, let's start praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's start quoting the Word of God, that very Word he's trying to take out of you. You're on the verge of producing something. This isn't the time to give up. Man, you take your stand stronger. You start praying in the Holy Ghost till the image of that gets stronger than the image that has lodged itself in your mind. Hallelujah. And you win. And he says, think it not strange. And brother, it's easy to start thinking it's strange, especially, you know, it's you it's happening to. I mean, it's you. What did you do? Can't get a job. And say, what did you do? I mean, what did you do to deserve this? Not a thing, except received the word of God of a greater victory in Jesus Christ. Well, whether it's on a world scale, an international scale, national scale, state scale, city scale, county scale, right down to your personal life scale, all persecutions and afflictions arise for one reason, and that is to take the Word of God out of the heart of the one that possesses it. This is why James said, let no man say when he is tempted. And the word tempted in the Greek is 100% interchangeable with the words testings and trials. James said, let no man say, when I am tempted, tested, or tried, that I am tempted, tested, or tried of God. For God cannot be tempted, tested, or tried with evil. Neither tempteth or testeth or try he any man. Now, if that don't make it plain enough, I don't know what does. And if I stand before Jesus and God said, I sent that stuff into your life to make you stronger, and it neutralized me and caused me to go to hell, then I will make him stand in account for me being in hell. But he isn't that author. He said, no man can say, for God cannot be tested with the stuff, neither will he test you with it. He has his own proving methods, his own. And I'll grant you, he'll prove your faith, but that's different than test it. He'll prove to you just how good it works by leading you into a situation that's just a little bit over your head. And you get an opportunity then to use your faith. But it will be for victory. It will be for victory, not some damnable disease. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. I love it. And all persecutions and afflictions. Persecution means to pursue relentlessly over a cause. That means Satan, through persecution, is pursuing you relentlessly to remove the very thing from your heart that he fears so deftly. And that is the Word of God. He pursues. He pursues. At the same time, he's pressuring you and he's pursuing you and got you on the run. He will begin to give you alternatives. Have you ever noticed that? Just lay down and die. That's an alternative. Now, how dare you let a terminal disease kill you? Who told you your work's here done?
And I can't stop it.
Maybe not right now. But he's made available to you the very tools you need to stop it with. First of all, you need to transform your mind. You need to quit thinking stupid. All persecutions to pursue relentlessly through any means to remove the word. That is job losses. I mean, anything that could possibly happen, thrown in jail, you know, picked up on a speeding ticket when you was in the world, here you are, righteousness, standing there with a bunch of sinners, you know. I mean, them things mild. I mean, communism could take your country over when you was Christian and throw you in prison and beat you with whips day after day to get you to deny Jesus. That's major. But that's persecution. That is to pursue relentlessly to remove the Word of God out of your heart. And afflictions carries a whole scope. It means to oppress, to weigh down with anything that will weigh you down. An affliction. From disease to any other force Satan can conjure up. I mean, any kind of damnable disease you want to name is covered under the word afflictions. Afflictions. And he'll weigh you down with it. Using that very force to convince you. I mean, if anybody needs convincing, you need convincing that the word is not cracked up to all them faith preachers crack it up to be. And that's why he'll bring it. Now, when I first launched the ministry and God started using me in miracles, I was doing a full gospel businessman's dinner. And there was a deaf woman, deaf in one ear, sitting out in front of me, and I picked it up in the spirit. I said, ma'am, would you come over here? Come on over here. I want to pray for you. And she gets up and she says, well, what's really wrong with me is my hip. See, I can't lift it over this high. And I said, well, we're going to pray for that. But first, we're going to pray for your ears. It happened to be a devil. It was a deaf spirit. I reached my hand up to pray for that ear. And I no sooner got it 6 inches from her ear, all of a sudden, that ear opened up perfectly, and the other side went deaf. I mean, that thing went right through her brain and got in the other one. So I put my hand up on the other side and went over to the other one. So I thought, I'm going to get you. I put both hands on her. Her ear popped open, and she goes, oh, my God, I can hear out of both ears. I can really hear. I said,
Certainly. Certainly. You know, now we're to the place where we're using the Word of God in us for the benefit of others. You know, thank God I'm not wrapped up in me anymore.
But I got problems.
Yeah. I know. I wish there was one in here that didn't. So we set her in a chair and she could not lift her leg. I grabbed her and prayed, and one leg lengthened way out, and that thing popped loose, and she stood up and she lifts her leg as high as she could, and she looks at me in utter amazement. She says, "But you don't understand. The doctor said it was fused in there." And I says, "Yes, ma'am, I understand." "No, you don't understand. I couldn't lift it." I said, "I understand. God did a miracle. But you don't understand. The doctor said." I said, "Ma'am, I do understand." A month later, when we came back to her city, she comes up, and I was in a crusade, and of course she tried to get in the Word. I believe she's a Catholic lady. She got some of her tapes and different things and began to get in the Word. She'd come back that monthly meeting, then she says, "My ear went deaf again." And I said, "Well, I know what that is," and I rebuked it. And it came out. She says, "Oh, good, good." Then after that, it went deaf again. So I rebuked it and came out. Well, it was the town that Tim McFall lived in. And she has a heart attack. I mean, this lady has a heart attack 2 weeks later and sends her to the hospital. And boy, she's in there hanging and let nothing. The Tim goes in and prays for her and she gets healed. So she comes back finally after months and months, you know, sicker than she's ever been. And she says, "Before I met you..." She says, "All I had was a deaf ear and a partially disabled hip. Now the only thing that don't hurt is the hip. Everything else is wrong." So I took her into the Word of God and I says, "Look why Satan has come. Look, I told you how to stand him off. Look why he's come with persecutions. Look, he's come with afflictions. Can you see?" And I took hours to talk her into. He says, "Yeah, okay, okay." So then she attended the meeting. And that night, she was fellowshipping in the fellowship room. And when she left, she fell off the porch and broke herself all up. So I never seen her again for about a year. And I happened to drop in on a friend's prayer meeting, and this lady was in the prayer meeting. And when I came in, she left. The persecution and afflictions arise for one reason. Then there was the lady in a coma. She is in a coma, and the relatives that was born again said, "Roberson, would you please come over and pray for this woman, please?" All her relatives have flew in for the funeral. She only had a matter of hours to live. In a deep coma, her lungs were full of cancer clusters. She was full. Now, I was surprised as anybody. I walked in and everybody was waiting around for her to die. And I said, "Would you get out of this room? Get out of this room." And I cleared the room. So I went in there and I leaned over her. And all of a sudden, that boldest kind of authority came on me. I mean, if I ever felt sorry for the devil. Oh, boy. I grabbed a hold of that woman. And if there was any devils left in it, it's because they were dead. Spirit of God said she'll come to within 30 minutes and she's going to be hungry. Boy, they heard me in there. I mean, all them sinners heard me yelling at the devil and praying in tongues. And they... when I came out of that room, I had a swath at least 15 foot wide to go down the middle of them. I walked over to the door and turned around. And they was all gawking at me. And I said, "She's going to wake up in 30 minutes and she's going to be hungry. So you fix her something to eat." They just stunned, looked at me, just stunned. And I closed the door. And this woman comes running over and gets a hold of me. And she says, she came walking out of the room within 30 minutes. And I was all in such shock that she sat down and devoured a whole bowl of chips that they had out for the guests, you know. Well, immediately her and her daughter started coming to our word center, even though they belonged to a form of godliness that denied the power. But brother, they started coming, but she could not break away from the form. There was tears on the altar, her mother and her father. She just could not. She was steeped in tradition of that form of godliness. A definite fear had been engrafted into her that if she ever left that church, she would end up in hell. She tried to come and tried to come and tried to come, but could not. She fell away. She fell away. Approximately 7-8 months later, the same disease came on her, and it progressed at 7 times the speed until she was dead. Well, that's what Jesus said. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he wanders through dry places. And he goes and finds 7 more wicked than his. Then he comes back, and if the place is still swept and garnished, he enters in, and the last condition of the person is worse than the first. I asked Jesus, what does sweat and garnish? And he brought me further into that chapter, further, where he said, he says, a woman cried in a loud voice, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And Jesus says, no. I mean, same teaching. He says, no, more blessed are they rather, more blessed, even than my mother, that hear the word of God and keep it. Why are they more blessed? Why? Why? Now, if you'll notice, that spirit, even in Jesus' day, was trying to turn the worship to his mother. He said, no. More blessed are they rather that hears the word and keeps it. For when that devil comes back with his cohorts and he finds them still swept and garnished from the disease, absolutely nothing in them, but yet void of the word, then they have nothing to stop him with, and he will come back and progress at 7 times the speed, unless you got enough to hold him equal. Why in the world, out of all the things Satan could remove out of you, why did he major on the word of God? Because he is running the risk of you believing it and it producing up to 100%.